الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، begin this evening seeking the aid and the help and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A new treatise, very beneficial, by a great scholar. His name is Hafiz al-Hakami rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 1377 after the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has many, many works and great benefit that he has left behind, rahimahullah ta'ala, and clarification of a number of sciences from the Islamic religion, at the head of them the affairs of creed, but likewise in issues related to mustalah hadith and usul al-fiqh, likewise seerah, and many other sciences that he has written works with regards to, then even explain them himself, and many of them are in written form, and others they are in the form of poetry. Very great beneficial works. The one that we have now in front of us is entitled A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura li'tiqadi al-Ta'ifa al-Najiya al-Mansura, the signpost of the propagated Sunnah for the creed of the saved and aided group. For the creed of the saved and aided group. Also in some of the prints, it's titled 200 Questions and Answers on the Creed of the Saved Sect. So this particular work here is authored in this manner. Question and answer. Su'al wa jawab. As-su'al wa jawab. In question and answer form. And one of the most famous works that he has, rahimahullahu ta'ala, is a work that he has written in poetry about the creed of Ahl Sunnah and the methodology and way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. It's known as Sulam al-Wusul. Sulam al-Wusul, ili ilm al-Wusul. Yani it's about the creed, it's about Tawheed. And then he explained those lines of poetry. There are over 200 lines, maybe like 240, 250 lines of poetry about the creed. Beautiful. Beautiful poem. Amazing how he has summarized them in this beautiful manner, and how the poem flows so fluently and easily, and that which it contains from affairs of the religion, issues of the Tawheed, holding fast to the Sunnah, it's very beautiful. It's very beautiful. Then after that, rahimahullah, he explained it himself in a great work that is entitled Ma'arij al-Qabul. Ma'arij Al-Qabul, and it's approximately three volumes. It's like an encyclopedia. It's considered like an encyclopedia of the creed. And if you're doing research about issues in the creed specifically, and Iman and Islam and Ihsan and the other affairs, from believing in the unseen and the methodology of Ahl Sunnah with regards to these affairs, then this is a great resource. This is a great resource. From his methodology in that work is that he will mention ayat after ayat after ayat, almost in the same order of the mushaf. I mean, he will mention the issues and he will gather almost every verse in the Book of Allah related to that. Then after that, he will follow up with narration after narration after narration. It's full of evidence. Full of evidence. It's amazing. An amazing work. Allah knows best. This work that we have here, this summarized question and answer of the creed, This is what is apparent is summarized from that work. It's summarized from that work. That work is much larger with many evidences and likewise refutations, clarification of the madhahib al-batil, al-munharifa, al-dhal, the deviant ways and the likes like this. Sometimes he will clarify them and mention them and refute the falsehood and the likes like this according to his methodology and his work. Allah knows best, much of these questions here, they're summarized from that work. So if a person, he wants to find more detail with regards to many of these issues, he will find them in that work, specifically from the author himself. His name is Hafiz. This is not a title given to him because of his status in the deen. That's his name. So you don't say Al-Hafiz, like you do whenever you mention the title of someone. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, for example, rahimahullah. No, his name is Hafiz. His father named him Hafiz. His name is Hafiz ibn Ahmed. Rahimahullah al-Hakimi, Hafiz ibn Ahmed, Rahimahullah al-Hakimi, Hafiz ibn Ahmed al-Hakimi, 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 Rahimahullah ta'ala. He was born in the year 1342. He was born in the year 1300 and 42. How many years ago? It's 1447. 1447 now. How many years ago? Huh? 1447 now. He was born in 1342. Huh? What did you say?
19.
Huh? 105. Huh? 100, 105. 100. So he was born 105 years ago. He was born in 1342 and he died in 1377. 1377. So how old was he when he died? He was 35 years old. He was 35 years old. If you see the works that he has written, you'll be amazed. This work right here, this summarized question and answer, he was written whenever he's 23. At the end of the work, he mentioned whenever he finished and the date he started and the date he finished. And then if you summarize that, you'll find that he wrote this work whenever he was 23. So Allah knows best the poems that he wrote. The poem that he wrote was before that, and the explanation that he wrote, amazing explanation. The amazing explanations, encyclopedia of the creed was even before that, and Allah knows best. And then he has a question and answer, almost like a hadith, and he has a summary of that. He has a long poem about fiqh, the issues of fiqh from the first chapter to the last, from tahara all the way to jinayat, poetry, the subul as-sawiyah. It's an amazing affair. It's amazing. He has a poem all about usul al-fiqh. Rahimahullah has a poem all about seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has this, and it's amazing the efforts that he had established by the grace of Allah azza wa jalla, and he only lived for this brief period, taking advantage of his time and striving and seeking knowledge and learning from a very young age. So I would like to speak about him in detail, rahimahullah ta'ala, but I didn't have the time to prepare in the manner that I feel is necessary. And also, if I was going to speak about Hafiz Rahimahullah al-Hakimi, then I would like to also speak about his great teacher. Who knows his name? Yes. Abdullah al-Qar'awi, Rahimahullah. Abdullah al-Qar'awi, Rahimahullah. He's the mujaddid of this da'wah, the da'wah of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab in recent history. And he was... he's the one who found Hafiz, and he's the one who encouraged Hafiz, and he was the one who taught Hafiz, rahimahullah, until Hafiz became his teacher. And even Sheikh Abdullah al-Qara'awi, he confessed to that. He confessed that the stories are amazing. The stories are amazing. And they're from the area in Saudi Arabia, or they were wound up. And Hafiz is from that area, and Sheikh Abdullah al-Qara'awi, he wound up in that area, rahimahullah, called Samita. Samita is in the southern area of Saudi Arabia, maybe like 10 kilometers from the border of Yemen. And it's in the province, the main province of Jazan. In this area, there are great scholars who have come from there. Great scholars who have come from there, Allahu Akbar. And at the head of them, Sheikh Abdullah al-Qara'awi. He's the one who revived the da'wah Salafiyah in those lands. And it spread, alhamdulillah, and the revival was established. And from his greatest students, Hafiz Al-Hakimi, and also from those from the area, Sheikh Ahmed and Najmi, and also Sheikh Zayd al-Midqari after that as well, and Sheikh Rabi' bin Hadi, rahimahumullah jami'an, and others. All of them are from the same area, Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi. They're all from the same area in Jazan. Great scholars. Inshallah, I'll prepare lectures with regards to the biography of these two, of Sheikh Abdullah al-Qara'awi and Sheikh Hafiz al-Hakami rahimahumullah. And in the future we'll take them. I know it's best to discuss these affairs as an introduction before the work, but it didn't unfold in this manner. By the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ لَا يُدْرَكُ جُلُّهُ. So inshallah we'll come back to it. We'll come back to that. So he began, rahimahullah, bismillahi rahman rahim, alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ardha wa ja'ala dhulumati wan-nur thumma alladhina kafaru bi rabbihim ya'dilun huwa alladhi khalaqakum min tinin thumma qada ajala wa ajalun musamman 'indahu thumma antum tamturun wa huwa Allahu fi as-samawati wa fil-ardhi ya'lamu sirrakum wa jahrakum wa ya'lamu ma taksibun. He began, rahimahullah ta'ala, with the bismillah, beginning in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. And then he says, all praise Thanks be to Allah, who created the heavens and the earth, and made the darkness and the night. Yet those who disbelieve hold others as equal with their Lord. He it is who has created you from clay. Then he has decreed a stated term, any meaning for you to die. And there is with him another determined term for you to be resurrected. Yet you still doubt, meaning in the resurrection. And he is Allah, meaning the one to be worshipped alone in the heavens and on the earth. And he knows what you conceal and what you reveal. And he knows what you earn. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ أَحَدٌ صَمَدٌ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone with no partner, the one, the self-sufficient master, whom all creatures need. He begets not, nor was he begotten, and there is none co-equal or comparable to him. بَلْ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Nay, but Allah is the only one worthy of worship. All that is in the heavens and the earth belong to him. All are obedient and submissive to him, the originator of the heavens and the earth. When he decrees a matter, he only says to it, be, and it is. وَرَبُّكُمْ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ خِيَرَةُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَتَعَالَى أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. And your Lord creates whatsoever he wills. And your Lord creates whatsoever he wills and chooses. No choice have they in any matter. Glorified is Allah and exalted above all that they associate as partners with him. لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. He cannot be questioned as to what he does while they will be questioned. While they will be questioned. So he began in this manner with the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praising Allah and glorifying him and thanking him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you notice the methodology, he is praising Allah from the words of Allah. And this is from the best means to praise Allah. And then continuing after that to testify and bear witness that there's none worthy of worship except for Allah. Allah with no partners, mentioning some of his beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. And from that which is mentioned in Surat Al-Ikhlas. And then after that, he continues mentioning verses that clarify these affairs that he's referring to. The methodology here in authoring is called Al-Iqtibas. Al-Iqtibas. And this is whenever the one who's speaking, he will mention verses and narrations in a manner connected to his speech without clarifying or indicating that they're verses or hadith. Without mentioning anything to indicate that they're verses or hadith. And he's speaking, and in his speech is moving, and he has an aim to discuss. And in that discussion, he mentions ayat. And then he will move on in his discussion, and then mention a hadith, and move on in his discussion. And in all of this is going to the intent of what he aims to cover and discuss in his speech. All of this without saying, Allah, he said this in his book. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in his sunnah. This is called al-iqtibas. You understand that? This is what he's doing here. Waleh, this is clear. So he's taking from the book of Allah what he wants to convey. Like this, without referencing it to the book of Allah azza wa jalla. This is a methodology in writing and likewise in speaking. And sometimes maybe a person, he will say something and then what he intends to say and clarify is a verse. So he will speak and then that verse will come and it will clarify his intent. Another time maybe he's speaking and what he's trying to say is actually a narration. He'll mention the narration by its wording, but he will not necessarily say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this or said that. And he will mention the narration in this manner and he will be in his speech or in the context of that of his discussion. We understand this? It's very clear from what he's doing here. This is a methodology that people of knowledge, they traverse sometimes in authored works and likewise in speeches. And likewise in speeches. We see how he began. He began with the verse from Surat Al-An'am. From Surat Al-An'am, which begins with the praise of Allah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. There are five chapters in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal that begin in this manner. There are five chapters in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal that begin in this manner. Who can name them? Surah Al-Fatiha. Ahsanta. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. After that, let's go in order. Al-An'am. Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ardha wa ja'ala dhulumati wan-nur. After that, Al-Kahf. أحسنت. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. اعتدان ها before what was the young one who said that ah this one السبع okay I have a prize for you زاك الله خيرا السبع ها before فاتر right and then after سبع ها after سبع فاطر that's how many that's five that's five these are the five chapters that begin with the praises of Allah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamd, it means to praise. But it's a type of praise that's coupled with love and veneration. So the praise that's coupled with love and veneration, this is the praise that belongs to Allah. This is the praise that is deserving of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's a praise that's based upon love and veneration. Mentioning the beautiful traits and characteristics along with love and veneration. Along with love and veneration. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He's praised for His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. As we see here, Alhamdulillah, Alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ardha wa ja'ala adh-dhulumati wan-nur. He's the one who has created the heavens and the earth. And He's the one who has made the darkness and the light. So these are from His characteristics and traits that necessitate that He should be praised and He should be thanked and He should be loved and revered. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we praise Allah Azza wa Jal for His beautiful names and lofty attributes of protection. We praise Allah Azza wa Jal for His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. And likewise, we praise and thank Allah Azza wa Jal for His numerous bounties and blessings. For His numerous bounties and blessings. You understand that? All of the favors and blessings are from Allah. So we praise Him for them and also thank Him. As for His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection, then we only praise Him. Then we only praise Him. The praise is for Allah Azza wa Jal because He is Allah, the one whom there is none worthy of worship besides Him, the one who has created the heavens and the earth and given everything a shape and its form, the one who is alive and never dies, while the jinn and mankind, they were all going to die. They're all going to die. So all praise is for Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, all of the favors and blessings, all of the good and protection, the good of this life and the hereafter, protection and safety and security, this life and the hereafter, and all of the ways out from hardship and harm and difficulty is with Allah alone, from His favor and blessing, and according to His command and His decree. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He's praised and thanked for this likewise. So the author, he began in this manner. He began in this manner. But this work is about al-i'tiqad. It's about al-i'tiqad, yani al-aqidah, which is the head of aqidah is al-tawheed. Is that tawheed? Is the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To sing about Allah alone for that which He deserves from His rights, tabaraka wa ta'ala, from His lordship, and likewise from His actions, and from His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection, and from His right to be worshipped alone, absolutely, with no partners whatsoever, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that all actions of servitude and devotion, love and humbleness and obedience, absolutely, are His right alone, tabaraka wa ta'ala, with no partners whatsoever. This is the tawheed. And this chapter here, chapter Al-An'am, is all about Tawheed. Some of the people of knowledge will consider it Surah Al-Tawheed, or Surah Al-Aqa'id, the chapter of Tawheed, because it's about Tawheed from the beginning to the end. And the different aspects of the creed are clarified in this chapter. This is indeed amazing, an amazing chapter. Surah Al-An'am, which number is it? He's too slow. He got you on that one. Number six, Ahsanta, Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. Chapter number six. How many pages is it? Approximately, huh? 21, close to 25. I think it's 21, eh? Something like that. It's a little bit over a juz. It's a little bit over a juz. It's an amazing chapter about the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he began in this manner. Alhamdulillah, alladhi khalaqa samawati wal arda wa ja'ala dhulumati. All praise and thanks be to Allah, the one who has created the heavens and the earth and has made the darknesses and the light. And then after this, realizing this and knowing this, those who disbelieve, they make equals with their Lord. Ya'dilun. Ya'dilun, yani yusawun. Yusawun, they make equals with Allah, meaning they make the creation equal with the Creator. Yusawunahu fi madha. They make Him equals with what? The people, mankind. What do they make equals with Allah? Believing that the creation creates along with Allah? Believing that the creation provides and sustains along with Allah? No, believing that the creation is equal with Allah and his uluhiyya, meaning they take partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship. Meaning they take partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship. And the foundation of that is love. It's love. They devote themselves with love and humbleness and servitude to other than Allah. They direct actions of love and servitude, obedience, to other than Allah Azza wa Jalla. To other than Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the meaning of al-adl here, is to taswiyah. They make equals with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Meaning in their love, in their servitude, in their devotion. And they're in their worship. And on the day of resurrection, Allah mentioned about them. They say, Tallahi in kunna lafi dhalalin mubin. If nusawwikum bi rabbil alamin. Tallahi in kunna lafi dhalalin mubin. The disbelievers, they will say, they have far wadiyadhi billah. Tallahi in kunna lafi dhalalin mubin. We swear by Allah that we were in clear misguidance. We were in plain misguidance. If nusawwikum bi rabbil alamin. Whenever we made you equals. And to their gods that they worship, they say this: whenever we made you equals to the Lord of the worlds, to the Lord of the worlds, making them equal in what? And love, and love. They love their gods like they love Allah. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَتَخِذُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. And from mankind, there are people who take along with Allah rivals, and they love them as they love Allah. This is the taswiyah. This is the shirk. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. They love their idols, and they love the ways of their forefathers, and they will not let go, and they are attached to that, and they are attached to that, and they devote themselves in this manner, even after they realize that all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, and He alone created the heavens and the earth, and that He alone is the one who has created the night and the day and the darkness and the light. Then even after that, ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعْدِلُونَ. And Allah, He clarifies likewise, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن طِينٍ. And it is Allah, He is the one who has created you from clay. Referring to the creation of Adam. Referring to the creation of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. ثُمَّ قَضَى أَجَلًا وَأَجَلٌ مُسَمًّا عِنْدَهُ ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ تَمْتَرُونَ. And then He has decreed a term appointed, and then another term as well with Him. And then after that, you doubt. And then after that, you are in doubt of the resurrection. وَاللَّهُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ. وهو الله في السماوات وفي الأرض يعني وهو المألوه في السماوات وفي الأرض يعني المعبود وهو الله أي المعبود في السماوات وفي الأرض. And He is Allah in the heavens and the earth, meaning He is the true God worthy of worship, the one who is worshipped in right from the inhabitants of the heavens and the inhabitants of the earth. In the heavens and the earth, He is the true God who's worshipped in right and in truth, who's worshipped in right and in truth. يَعْلَمُ سِرَّكُمْ وَجَهْرَكُمْ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تَكْسِبُونَ. He knows what you conceal and what you reveal, and He knows what you earn. And He knows what you earn. This is from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clarifying that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him. Clarifying that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدُهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. Then He went with the shahada, التشهد. يَتَشَهَّدُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. أي وَأَشْهَدُ أَلَا مَعْبُودَ بِحَقٍ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah, alone with no partners. I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah, alone with no partners. أَحَدٌ صَمَدْ. أَحَدٌ صَمَدْ. He's the one and only, the self-sufficient master. الصَّمَدْ is from the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it has a number of meanings. Any from those names that have a number of meanings, meaning that He's the self-sufficient master that needs nothing and all need Him. That needs nothing and all need Him. Also mentioned under the laysa lahu juf, the one who does not have an inside. He doesn't eat, and he's not fed, and he does not need anything, yet all things need Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is powerful and strong, absolutely, with no weakness or difficulty. As-samad. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. He mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla to clarify this meaning. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Does not, He begets not, nor was He begotten, and there is none co-equal or comparable to Him. Then he mentioned another verse again, continuing that iqtibas. Bal lahu ma fi samawati wal ardi kullun lahu qanitun. Rather, all that is in the heavens and the earth belong to Him. All are obedient to Him. Badi'u samawati wal ardi idha wa idha qada. وَإِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. And He's the originator of the heavens and the earth, and He's the one who brought everything into existence from nothing. تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. He created all things and gave it a shape and its form. And whenever He decrees a matter, He says to it only, be, and it is. Be and it is. Here Allah, He mentions subhanahu wa ta'ala, بَلْ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. كُلُّ لَهُ قَانِتٌ. Rather, everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to him. خَلْقًا وَمُلْكًا. خَلْقًا وَمُلْكًا. The people of knowledge, as they mentioned, it belongs to him, meaning he's the one who created it, and he's the one who owns it and has authority over it. Everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. He's the one who created it, and he's the one who has authority and command over it. It is under his command. تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كُلُّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. كُلُّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. All of the creation, the heavens and the earth that Allah created, and that which belongs to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, under his authority, is all obedient to him. كُلٌّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. القنوت دوام الطاعة. القنوت دوام الطاعة. The word القنوت, it means to be in constant obedience. This is a word that you translate to mean devotion. Obedience and devotion, al-qunut. But there's an important point now to be made, inshallah, that will continue with us, yani inshallah, in these studies. That will continue with us in these studies, and that these words sometimes, they have more than one meaning. The words in the Arabic language, sometimes they have more than one meaning. And if you do not understand these principles, you'll misunderstand much of what is intended from the book in the Sunnah. One word could be used in one context, it means one thing, in another context, it means another thing. Even they could be translated as the same thing. Maybe one word in one context is translated in the same manner, but in this context it means one thing, and this context it means another. So here Allah is saying about the creation of the heavens and the earth, كُلُّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. All things in the heavens and the earth, قَانِتُونَ يعني مُطِيعُونَ. They obey him, they're obedient to him. So some people may say, but the disbelievers are not obeying him, right? The disbelievers are not obeying him, are they? Are they? No, they're not obeying him. And the sinners are not obeying him likewise, right? So they're not qanitun. Huh? And even this is another context. So this is the point now that we want to make, that these words sometimes, they have more than one meaning. So the word qunut, it means ta'a, it means obedience. But there's two aspects of obedience. Al-ta'a al-kawniyya wa ta'a al-shar'iyya. Al-ta'atu al-kawniyya al-qahriyya. وَالطَّاعَةُ الْكَوْنِيَّةِ وَالطَّاعَةُ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ الدِّينِيَّةِ. Understand that? So there's obedience, that's a universal obedience, that the creation has no way to object against, no way to oppose, that they're under submission to the command and the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. They're under the submission and the command of and the decree of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So the entire creation is like this. The entire creation is like this. Allah, he brought you into existence. Allah, he provides you. He caused you to grow. And you will die whenever he decrees. And you can't escape that. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. And you are obeying that command. And you cannot escape it. And you cannot escape it. Whatever Allah has decreed for you, it will befall you. You cannot miss it. Whatever Allah did not decree for you, it will never happen, no matter how hard you try or how much you want it. You will obey him and comply in obedience in this manner. And humble obedience in this manner to that command of Allah, the universal command. The decree of Allah. We understand this. So in this aspect, the entire creation is qanitun. It's qanitun. Kullu lahu qanitun. This is what is intended here. So what is intended here from qunut? Aw al-ta'a, al-ta'a al-kawniyya, al-qahriyya. The universal submission, the universal obedience. The sun and the moon does not have a choice. In the same manner, our lives, there's aspects we don't have a choice. Things that would occur to us. How long we will live. How many children we will have, and the like, our provision, so on and so forth. All of this is in the hands of Allah and the decree of Allah. We cannot go beyond that or escape it. We cannot go beyond that or escape it. And the creation likewise, the trees and the fish and the sea, so on and so forth. All of this is submitting to the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It has no choice. It has no choice. Then there's another aspect of qunut. It's called al-qunut al-shar'iyya, the legislative type of obedience. And this is the obedience of the believers and the righteous. They obey Allah Azza wa Jal willfully, and they make the choice to surrender, to submit to him wholeheartedly. So this is in reference to al-qunut al-shar'iyya. So this is only for the Muslims. This is only for the believers. Whenever Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he mentioned, Ya Maryamu, uqunuti li rabbiki wasjudi warka'i maraki'in. Allah, he ordered Maryam alayhi salam to make al-qunut. And likewise Allah, he mentioned about her, وَكَانَتْ مِنْ الْقَانِتِينَ وَكَانَتْ مِنْ الْقَانِتِينَ. يعني الْقَانِتِينَ, which type of qunut is intended here? الشرعية. She was obedient and humble devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here the word Qanitin is in reference to obedience, willful, legislative obedience, meaning that she used to be humble in her servitude and worship and obedient to Allah in public and in private. She reached a high level and status in this manner. Do you understand that? وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ. This is a great praise. As for وَكُلٌ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ, this is not praise. All the rocks and the trees and all that, this is not praising. This is they're under the command of Allah. They obey Allah whether they like it or not. They obey Allah whether they like it or not. As for the believers, then they obey Allah willfully, with their decision and their choice, with love and hope and servitude and devotion and fear and reverence of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So there's a difference between the two. There's a difference between the two. Do you understand this? This is important. So we have ta'atul kawniyya wa ta'atul shar'iyya. There's a universal obedience that nothing in the creation can escape. Taw'an wa karha. You understand that? And then there is the legislative obedience that Allah guides whom He loves from His slaves to follow His path and believe in His messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam, and take them as role models, and to willfully and humbly submit before Him in obedience. Submit before Him in obedience. So the verse here, بَلَّهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلُّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. This one is in reference to which type? Al-Kawniyya. Al-Ta'a Al-Kawniyya. Al-Ta'a Al-Kawniyya. All that is in the heavens and the earth, all that is in the heavens and the earth belongs to Him. All are obedient to Him. All are obedient to Him, meaning they're obedient to His universal decree. To His universal decree, right? To His universal command. As for the legislative command, all are not obedient to Him. Only the believers. Only the believers. This topic here, this point here, is important to understand in our coming discussions, inshallah. So both words, it means obedience, right? But obedience to the universal command of Allah is different than the obedience to the legislative command of Allah. We understand this. Alhamdulillah. Khalas. So then he says after this, rahimahullah, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ مِنْ خِيَارَةٍ Subhanallah wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. And your Lord creates whatsoever He wills and chooses. No choice have they in any manner. Glorified is Allah and exalted above all that they associate as partners with Him. All of this is clarifying the rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, some of His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. That He has the authority and He has the command. And nothing happens except with His permission. And He creates as He wills and what He wills, whatever He wills. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He chooses from His creation and He selects. And He shows preference to that which He wills from His creation. He shows preference to some times over others, and some days over others, and some months over others, and some tribes over others, and some people over others. And He gives presence to whomever, He gives preference to whomever He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's all according to His supreme knowledge and ultimate wisdom. He guides whom He wills, and He leads astray whom He wills. He chooses for guidance and for the straight path whom He wills, and He leaves astray those He wills, based upon His knowledge and wisdom and supreme justice, subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. He is not asked about what He does while they will be questioned. While they will be questioned. So this is also clarifying the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, His supreme authority. He's not asked about what He does. This creation belongs to Him. This creation belongs to Him. He does what He wills with this creation. He provides for whom He wills without measure, and He restrains for whom He wills as He likes. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. He decrees that this one will live this many years, and this one will live this many. It's in His hands. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one is this color, and that one is that color. And this one is this tall, and that one is that tall. All of this is in the command of Allah, and He does what He wills. And this one is healthy, and this one is sick. And this one is handsome, and this one is not so handsome. This one is not so handsome. This is from the command of Allah. He does what He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's not asked about what He does. So this is the clarification of the Lord, tabaraka wa ta'ala, His supreme authority. قُلُوا لَهُ قَانِتُونَ بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِذَا قَالَ وَإِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Also, this is the clarification, barakallahu fikum, of who we are. And this is from the means of being steadfast. We are slaves. We don't ask Allah about what He does. Whether we're worried about Allah asking us about what we do. So whenever Allah commands something, we don't say lima. Lima, lima amara kada. Why did Allah order this? Why did Allah forbid this? Why do you have to do this? Why do you have to do that? You don't ask these questions. You're a slave. You're a slave. You are a creation. You're under his command. You're a servant. You are creation, and you are provided for and sustained. And you have a Lord, and you have a master. So you don't ask why Allah created this or why Allah created that. You don't ask why Allah commanded this or why Allah forbade that. You don't ask these questions. Brother, whenever you hear a commandment or a prohibition, what do you ask? How? How do you do it? How do you do it? What's the way to perform it properly? What's the way to establish it correctly in the manner pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You don't ask why. You don't ask why he did this and why he did this and did that, or why he commanded this or why he commanded that. Rather, you ask how to perform it. What's the proper manner to establish it so that you can do it and comply to that which he ordered you. To that which he ordered you. So the author, he continues now, rahimahullah ta'ala, in the introduction, moving on to the next aspect, which is related to the second part of the shahada. Wa ashhadu anna sayyidana wa nabiyyana Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu arsalahu bil huda wa din al haq liyudhhiru ala ad-din kullihi wa law kariha al mushrikun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi alladhina qadaw bil haqqi wa bihi kanu ya'dilun wa la tabi'ina lahum bi ihsanin الذين لا ينحرفون عن السنة ولا يعدلون بل إياها يكتفون وبها يتمسكون وعليها يوالون ويعادون وعندها يقفون وعنها يذبون ويناضلون وعلى جميع من سلك سبيلهم وقف أثرهم إلى يوم يبعثون أما بعد The author, he said, رحمه الله, and I bear witness that our leader and Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is his slave and messenger, whom he sent with guidance in the religion of truth to make it prevail over all other religions, even though the pagans and polytheists may detest it. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, his family, his companions, those who judge with justice and act justly, and upon those who follow them with excellence, who do not deviate from the sunnah nor turn away from it. Rather, they emulate it, adhere to it, and support and oppose for its sake. Stop at its limits and defend and struggle for it, and upon all who followed their path and trace their footsteps until the day they are resurrected to proceed. So he made the second shahada. Wa ashhadu anna sayyidana wa nabiyyana Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And bear witness that our sayyid, yani our leader, wa our nabi, yani our prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is his slave and messenger. Is his slave and messenger, describing him here with al-ubudiyya wa risala. These are the two peak attributes that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been described with, al-ubudiyya wa risala. Al-ubudiyya, here what is intended is servitude and devotion, sincere obedience and submission, sincere obedience, surrender and submission. So he is the slave of Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he mentions some descriptions of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَرْسَلَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. Allah sent him with guidance and the religion of truth. With guidance meaning with beneficial knowledge, and the religion of truth meaning the clarification of the application of that knowledge. لِمَاذَا. Why did he send him? سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لِيُذْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. In order to make that religion and way of life victorious and apparent over all other religions, even if the pagans and polytheists detest it. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi alladhina qadaw bilhaqi wa bihi kanu ya'dilun. May the salat and the salam be upon him and upon his family and his companions, those who judge by the truth and they used to implement it justly. Qadaw bilhaqi wa bihi kanu ya'dilun. Qadaw bilhaqi wa kanu bihi ya'dilun. Those who judged with justice and also they used to act by way of it justly. قَضَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. They judged themselves with justice. وَبِهِ كَانُوا يَعْدِلُونَ. And also they would uphold that in application. They were steadfast and straight on that way. وَعَلَى التَّابِعِينَ لَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. And also the same salah and salam will be as well for those who follow them precisely. Those who follow them precisely. What are their descriptions? أَلَّذِينَ لَا يَنْحَرِفُونَ عَنِ السُّنَّةِ وَلَا يَعْدِلُونَ. Those who do not turn, deviate from the sunnah, nor do they make any exchange for it whatsoever. Nor do they make any exchange for it whatsoever. They do not turn away from it. They do not deviate from the sunnah, nor do they turn away or incline from it, following something else. So here's another example here. We see here, وَقَضَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَبِهِ كَانُوا يَعْدِلُونَ أَلَّذِينَ لَا يَنْحَرِفُونَ عَنِ السُّنَّةِ وَلَا يَعْدِلُونَ. Then if we go back to the verse, ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعْدِلُونَ, even there's three words, right? All of them are the same word. يَعْدِلُونَ يَعْدِلُونَ يَعْدِلُونَ. In the verse, يَعْدِلُونَ, it means يُسَوُّونَ, making equals. Making equals. You understand that? يَعْدِلُونَ يعني يُسَوُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي الْمَحَبَّةِ وَالْخُضُوعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ. But here, وَقَضُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَبِهِ كَانُوا يَعْدِلُونَ. يعدلون يعني يحكمون بالحق ويستقيمون عليه. That they used to judge with the truth and they used to establish it themselves and be upright upon that way. Used to be upright upon that way. And then also the followers after them, they لا ينحرفون عن السنة ولا يعدلون. So now they're not deviating from the sunnah, nor are they turning away, inclining away. So the first word here in this sentence we're discussing, ya'dilun, it means that they were upright and steadfast, meaning it's reference to al-istiqamah. And the second word, wala ya'dilun, is in reference to the opposite of that, al-i'wijaj, wal-mayl al-haq. So they're making the hum ya'dilun and yastaqimuna al-deen. Wala ya'dilun ay la yamiluna al-haq al-bafil. This is an amazing affair. This is called jinas in the science of balagha. And the science of balagha, from the beautiful, eloquent speech, is whenever a person who uses two words in the same context with two different meanings, like here. You understand that? They have opposite meanings. They have opposite, the one word, he's using one word. And one in the first aspect, it means istiqama. In the second aspect, it means irwijaj. The opposite. The opposite. الذين قالوا بالحق وبه كانوا يعدلون وعلى التابعين لهم بإحسان الذين لا ينحرفون عن السنة ولا يعدلون. ولا يعدلون بل إياها يكتفون وبها يتمسكون. Rather, they're following it step by step, and they're holding fast to it and adhere to it tightly. And from the description, likewise, we pay attention. وعليها يوالون ويعادون. And based upon the sunnah that they hold fast to, they do not turn away from it, they do not deviate away from, nor do they prefer anything over whatsoever. عليها يوالون ويعادون. عليها يوالون ويعادون. They, based on this here, based on this sunnah, based on this creed, based upon this methodology, based upon this deen, they have an allegiance and they have a disavow. They take friends and they have love for others based upon this. And they have enmity and they separate themselves from others based upon this, nothing else. This is the criteria. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Holding fast in that way, in creed, and statement in deed, and likewise in allegiance, with love, taking friendship and companions, bringing people close, cooperating with them and helping them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And others, you distance them away, and you keep them away accordingly, and you have enmity towards them, or hatred towards them, or you dislike them accordingly, likewise, based upon holding fast to the sunnah, based upon knowledge and application, based upon al-huda wa deen al-haq, not al-huda, only al-huda wa deen al-haq, based upon knowledge, the correct sound knowledge and the application of that knowledge. Then this is how we love. We love for the sake of Allah. We love what Allah loves and those whom Allah loves. And those whom Allah loves, and we have an allegiance. We have an allegiance based upon this. This is very important. The enemies of Islam, they have their arrows marked on this point of the creed. If the wala and the bara' goes, then the deen crumbles. Wa liyadh billah. Then the deen crumbles. What do you have to, if the believers start to love the disbelievers, then how is the deen going to be victorious and apparent over all other religions? What do you have to? So they try to say stuff like the Christians and the Jews, they're Abrahamic faiths and they're our brothers in religion. What do you have to? And Allah, He mentioned that the Jews were kirad al khanazir. And then they want to be brothers with them? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwatun. Innama al-mu'minuna. The believers are their only brothers. The believers, those who believe in Allah. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. They believe in the last day. They believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is of utmost importance to cultivate in the heart of oneself first and foremost, and likewise in one's family, in his household, in his children, in moderation upon the straight path, without going to extremes, without transgressing the boundaries, without violating the rights, without falling into that which will earn the angers of Allah based upon some love that's not checked by the reins of the legislation. Because the love, if it's not checked by the reins of the legislation, it will become extremism. It will become extremism. But the wala and the bara, it must be established as the fundamental of the religion. The wala and the bara, it must be established as the fundamental of the religion. You love what Allah loves and you dislike what Allah dislikes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You love whom the Messenger loves, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You dislike whom he likes and that which, and you dislike whom he dislikes and that which he dislikes, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Amma ba'd, to proceed. فَهَذَا مُخْتَصُرٌ جَلِيلٌ نَافِعٌ عَظِيمُ الْفَائِدَةِ جَمُّ الْمَنَافِعِ يَشْتَمِلُ عَلَى قَوَاعِدِ الدِّينِ وَتَضَمَّنُ أُصُولَ التَّوْحِيدِ الَّذِي دَعَتْ إِلَيْهِ الرُّسُلُ وَأُنْزِلَتْ بِهِ الْكُتُبُ وَلَا نَجَاةَ لِمَنْ بِغَيْرِهِ يَدِينُ ويدل ويرشد إلى السلوك المحجة البيضاء ومنهج الحق المستبين. He said, رحمه الله, this is a concise, مختصر, noble and beneficial summary, immensely useful, and with immense benefits, that contains the principles of the religion and includes the fundamentals of the Tawheed, to which the messengers all called to, and through which the scriptures were all revealed. There is no salvation for anyone who adheres to a religion other than it. It guides and directs to the clear white path and the evident way of truth. And the evident way of truth. فَهَذَا مُخْتَصَرٌ. And he's referring to this work here. He's pointing now to this work here. فَهَذَا مُخْتَصَرٌ جَلِيلٌ. This is a concise, noble, beneficial work. A concise, noble, beneficial work. المختصر أو الاختصار هو ذكر شيء وترك شيء. Whenever you make اختصار, make a summary, that means you mention some of the topic and you leave other aspects. You don't talk about everything in great detail. Rather, some of it you mention and you clarify, and other aspects you leave it. This is called al-ikhtisar. Al-ikhtisar. So this book is al-mukhtasar, meaning he's clarifying that not everything from the issues of the creed, every last detail is mentioned here. Rather, some of it is clarified and other parts, aspects is left off, but that which is mentioned is the foundation and the fundamental, that if someone were to oppose it, he would deviate and go astray. He would deviate and go astray. The fundamentals, the principles of the religion and the fundamentals of al-Tawheed, which all of the messengers they called to alayhim salatu wassalam, and all of the divine scriptures they were revealed with regards to this affair. And in the fundamental of the creed it does not change. The creed is one. The creed is one from the beginning, from the beginning to the end. The first prophet and messenger and the last prophet and messenger, they all have the same creed. They all have the same belief. The issues of the aqidah, it doesn't change. It doesn't change. It's established. As for the Sharia, as for the halal and the haram, or the obligations or prohibitions, then this would change from time to time and generation to generation and prophet to prophet according to the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jalla, based upon the situation and circumstances of the people and the times. لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. Allah clarified this in his book, that some things will be lawful and then they will be made unlawful. Other things will be unlawful and they will be made lawful from one prophet to the next until the coming of the final prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever the legislation was sealed and finalized. As for the creed, it's one. As for the creed, it is one. And the foundation of that is at-tawheed, to single out Allah alone in worship, and to devote oneself to Allah with no partners, to believe in the angels and the books and the messengers, and the last day and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I mentioned here, rahimahullah, this is a concise, noble, beneficial summary. It's immensely useful. That contains the principles of the religion and includes the fundamentals of the Tawheed, to which the messengers all called to, and through which the scriptures were all revealed. There is no salvation for anyone who adheres to a religion other than it. Anyone who follows away other than this deen, the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only fast with the proper creed and the understanding application of that in law and legislation, then he will never be successful. There's no salvation for anyone who adheres to a religion other than it. It guides and directs to the clear white path and the evident way of truth. And the evident way of truth. So here we see that the author, he's praising this work, mentioning that it's very beneficial. It's a noble and concise summary, full of immense benefits, containing the principles of the religion and the fundamentals of al-Tawheed. Then likewise mentioning the status of al-Tawheed, its position. This is what all of the prophets and messengers they called to. Ya qawmi, ubudu Allah ma lakum min ilahin ghayru, wa laqad arsalna, wa laqad and this is something that is established. All of the prophets and messengers they call to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the essence and the fundamental base of all of the revelations, all of the books were established upon the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if anyone followed another way besides that, they will be a loser. They will never be a winner. Waliyadu billah. And guides to the straight path and to the clear way. So here someone may say, how is the author praising his own work? And the people of knowledge, they clarified that this is allowed in certain circumstances to praise oneself or one's work or efforts. But if he's free of self-amazement, first and foremost, and he's sincere in doing that, and he has a legislative reason, like encouraging others and the likes like this. So he's here clarifying this, and it's true. This is full of great benefit, full of great benefit. And it's a very noble treatise. But this is in order to encourage the listener and to clarify for them that that which they're beginning to study is something very beneficial and very good, and they should take advantage of that. So this is something that is allowed in certain circumstances. And this is similar, like we just spoke about words, right? Sometimes one word means one thing in one context, and another word it means another in another context. Also, likewise, sometimes doing one thing in one context is blameworthy, but to do it in another context is praiseworthy. And here, with regards to the action, what is the deciding factor, the fine line, is the intention of the person. Is the intention of the person. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, what did he say to the king? قَدْ جَعَلْنِي عَلَى خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ إِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ إِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ. He requested to be over the khazain, yani over the distribution, the distribution of the wealth and all of the properties and likes like this. He wants to be in charge of the wealth of the whole land. And he put me in charge of the khazain, yani of distributing the wealth and the likes like this. He wants to be in charge of the wealth. And he said, because I am trustworthy and knowledgeable. I'm very trustworthy and knowledgeable. So he's praising himself here. The people of God, as they mentioned, this is because Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he realized and he knows that this is something that he can take care of and he can handle, and he will do this property in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla. While if he didn't do that, maybe that would be neglected. So likewise, if someone were in a situation where maybe there's someone going to have a position of authority who doesn't deserve it, and he knows it doesn't deserve it, and he knows from himself likewise that he will handle that property for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then he will step up. Then he will step up and he will mention his position in order to benefit the believers and to protect that position from being taken advantage of, or for someone who's not qualified to take over and bring troubles and trials and the likes like this. So maybe he'll praise himself. Maybe he'll mention that he's qualified and the likes like this. Or sometimes maybe this is beneficial for some people to hear whenever they're learning about Islam, for example. Then they hear that the person who's talking to them has a degree or a diploma, or he has done this or done that. Then he will listen more attentively, so on and so forth. So the one who says that in that manner, so that the people will benefit and listen and pay attention and feel comfortable learning and the likes like this, then this is, inshallah, not blameworthy. So long as a person is not doing it often, or he does not have a foul and lowly intention with regards to that. There's a number of examples in the biographies of the Sahaba with regards to this. Uthman radiallahu anhu, whenever the Khawarij, they surrounded him, and they wanted to raid him, he mentioned to them, he's telling them one by one, he said, I swear by Allah, I want to ask you by Allah, but I do not want anyone to answer me except for the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentioned a number of the virtuous things that he did. He says, didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever digs the well of Roma, then he can have Jannah, and I'm the one who dug it? And they said, yes, that's right. He said, didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, whoever prepared the Jaysh al-Usra, he will have Jannah, and I'm the one who prepared them with my wealth? All alone by myself. And they said, yes, you're the one who did that. Am I not the one who the Prophet ﷺ said this and said this, and then I did it, and I'm the one who established, and whoever does that will have Jannah. Was that not me? And they all saying, yes, that was you. He's saying that, why? Because the Khawarij, they're surrounding him now, and they're ready to murder him. So he's letting them know, the one you were trying to murder is of this level and this status. So now he's giving sincere advice. Think twice before you murder someone like me. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned great praises about me. And he promised paradise to me more than one time. More than one time. If you do this, then you have Jannah. I'm the one who did it. If you do that, then you have Jannah. I'm the one who did it. If you do this, you have Jannah. I'm the one who did it. And you want to murder me? You want to rush in my house and murder me in these sacred lands? This is a benefit here. So he's not praising himself in a manner that's blameworthy, in a manner that's blameworthy. Really, he's giving sincere advice. Likewise, it's come from Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that he said, لو أعلم أحدا أعلم بكتاب الله مني لرحلت إليه. That if I knew anyone who had more knowledge of the Book of Allah than me, I'll travel to him. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, with regards to والراسخون في العلم يقولون in Surah Al Imran, he said, أنا من الراسخين في العلم الذين يعلمون التأويل. He said, I'm from the firmly grounded in knowledge, those who know their understanding and proper interpretation. They're praising themselves in this manner to let their students know that they're learning from someone who's qualified and they're learning from someone who knows what they're talking about. So you should be humble and benefit. So you should be humble and benefit. And likewise, to let them know as well the virtue of knowledge. This knowledge is so virtuous. If I knew myself, someone who had more knowledge than me, I'll travel on a camel to meet him. He's saying this to let them know that this knowledge is virtuous. This knowledge is high and lofty to the extent that we'll get on camels and travel days and nights in the heat and in the desert to seek a narration and to learn about the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are examples of that. So the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, although he's praising this work here, it's not out of arrogance. It's not out of pride. He's not boasting and bragging. He's not making it to kaf like some people they would do. Then, I memorized this or I memorized that or I did this and I did that. And they do that in competing. In competition, making takafa. You memorize juice. I memorized this many juice. I memorized the Quran. I recited this. I have this ijazah. And the likes like this. And they're just counting. They're just counting and boasting and bragging. What the other billah? This is blameworthy. No doubt about this. No doubt about this. But the author here is praising his work in order to clarify its benefit and encourage the people to take advantage. So he says, شرحت فيه أمور الإيمان وخصاله وما يزيل جميعه وما يزيل جميعه أو ينافي كماله وذكرت فيه كل مسألة مسحوبة بدليلها ليتضح أمرها وتجلى حقيقتها ويبين سبيلها واقتصرت فيه على مذهب أهل السنة والاتباع وأحملت أقوال أهل الأهواء والابتداع إذ هي لا تذكر إلا للرد عليها وإرسال سهام السنة إليها. I have explained in it matters of faith and its characteristics, and in the issues of iman and the qisar, and in the traits and characteristics of faith likewise. This is what we're going to be discussing. Insha'Allah, this is what he has clarified. Also, he mentioned what negates all of it or diminishes its completeness. And he meaning that from the issues of iman, there are things that will uproot it from its foundation, and likewise, there are things that will bring weakness to it. That will not uproot it from its foundation, but it will bring a great weakness to it. But bring great weakness to us. So with regards to al-Iman, there's the foundation of Iman and there's the obligation of Iman. And there are things that will uproot and invalidate the Iman, and there are things that will weaken and that will weaken the faith and cause it to decrease. That will cause it to decrease. So he's discussing the issue of creed and tawheed, and likewise discussing the issue of the affairs that invalidate that and uproot it from its foundation, along with the affairs that are not that severe, but they bring great weakness to the faith and deficiency to the deen. So this is what is being clarified here. And it's very important to learn these affairs. First and foremost, the foundation and the fundamentals of the religion and the different aspects of faith and the actions of faith and the statements of faith and the manners and conduct of Iman and the people of Iman. And likewise, to learn those things that uproot the faith and invalidate it from its foundation and cause a person to exit the fold of Iman, as well as the affairs that do not cause the Iman to be uprooted, but rather to weaken it and cause it to decrease. Because many people, especially in these days, they do not distinguish between these affairs. And they delve into these issues upon ignorance and no light, and they will find somebody doing one of these that has a great effect on the Iman, but it does not invalidate it from its foundation, and they'll make takfir on him. So they'll go beyond the boundaries, and they will find somebody doing something that has a great effect on the faith, but it's not from those things that nullify or invalidate the faith. So they're confusing this affair, and it leads them to make judgments that are unjust, that are oppressive, and that are wrong, and that will not bring them the pleasure of Allah, rather his anger and wrath. So to learn the creed, no doubt, and then likewise to learn what invalidates it, no doubt, and to be clear about that, and learn the things that will weaken the faith and cause it to be deficient, but it doesn't uproot it from its foundation to differentiate between all of these affairs. So a person, he can traverse upon insight. So all of this is being discussed here. So he says, I have mentioned each issue along with its evidence, so its matter may become clear. This is also from the methodology and the beautiful way of the author and the people of the Sunnah in general, that they mention al-masail maqruna bi al-dala'il. They mention the affairs of the religion coupled with the evidence. And this is the true reality of knowledge. العلم معرفة الهدى بدليله ما ذاك والتقليد يستويان. Knowledge, true knowledge, is to know the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, coupled with the evidence and proof, the ayah from the Book of Allah and the authentic hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This and blind following is not equal. This and blind following is not equal. And then he said, likewise, I did that so that this way may become clear and this reality revealed and the path is manifest, sending to give sincere advice and to help you understand, to clarify the truth from the falsehood, and so that you see the proof yourself and you will be upon insight in your life and your religion. This is from the beautiful intention that a man he would sit and collect evidences from the book of Allah and from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on some of the most important topics that were revealed, the issues that were revealed to all of the prophets and messengers, and then put them in question and answer form so that you can be upon insight and so that you can be safe from misguidance. How much time and effort did he spend? Rather, even he died whenever he was young. He probably missed out on a lot of the joys of the life of the worldly people, but he was in a joy that no one could probably describe, a Jannah in himself. But the point is that these are the people of knowledge, and they spent their life and their effort and their times in these affairs, and their times in these affairs so that we can be guided. He's doing this so that you can be upon guidance, so that the reality can be true, so that you will know the truth upon insight. I limited to the methodology of Ahlul Sunnah wa Ittiba', and I omitted the statements of the people of desires wa Ittiba'. And as they are not mentioned except to refute them and to shoot the arrows of the Sunnah at them. So that which is discussed here is only the Sunnah and only the proper and sound creed, not delving into the shubuhat and misconceptions of the deviant. And this is the proper way of learning, especially in these days. In general, it's the proper way of learning, especially in these days. We must come back to this methodology, learning the creed and the methodology and the way of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Ahlul Sunnah wal Ittiba', those people of the Sunnah who followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Salaf al-Salih. Learning that creed, learning that methodology, learning that way, learning these issues in the affairs of the unseen, in the affairs of Iman, coupled with evidence from the book in the Sunnah, with beneficial statements from the scholars of the Ummah to clarify that aspect of evidence so you can believe in what you believe in based upon proof from the Quran, based upon clarity and insight and not following misconceptions and doubts. So the people of knowledge, they build the foundation, they establish the religion, and they try to purify and cleanse the hearts. And they don't mention the shubuhat, the misconceptions and misunderstandings of the deviant, of the Asha'ira, and the Maturidiyah, and the rest of the deviant sects, and the Jahmiyyah, and the Mu'tazila. They don't go into these affairs in details, and the Murji'ah, and the likes like this, before first building the student upon the sound creed. The sound creed. The problem that we have today is that the knowledge is so widespread and information is all over the place. The people, they don't suffice from this way. They many times go straight to the deviant and listen to their doubts and listen to their misconceptions and listen to the Khawarij and listen to the Takfiriyin, waliyadu billah, and listen to the Asha'ira, and then they come to you asking these questions with head full of doubts. Uncertainty about their religion, many of them, they wind up apostating or having doubts about the existence of Allah Azza wa Jalla. All because they expose their religion and their deen to these deviants and listening to them. That's not the way. Rather, he's telling us right now, what he did for us, may Allah reward him, is that he summarized and mentioned only the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wa Ittiba'. And he left off the statements and opinions of the people of innovation wa Ittiba'. This is so that a person he can learn. No doubt, learning those shubuhat and learning the deviant methodologies and learning the misunderstandings and misconceptions is a beneficial way, but this is another level of knowledge. This is another science. It's called ilm al-firaq wal-milal, the knowledge or the science of the different deviant sects. Before a person delves in this affair, he must be founded. He must have a strong foundation in the creed of Ahl Sunnah. He must have a strong foundation in the creed of Ahl Sunnah, and then after that, and only after that, will he move on to just start discussing slowly and little by little the deviant sects and the different ideologies and creed and the aspects of how they're wrong and how to refute them. This comes later, barakallahu fiqh. So he says, rahimahullah, we went to close, and that way we finished the explanation. وَقَدْ تَصَدَّ لِكَشْفِ عواريها عريمة الأجلاء وصنفوا في ردها وبعدها المصنفات المستقلة مع أن الضد يعرف بضده ويخرج بتعريف ضابطه وحده فإذا طلعت الشمس لم يفتقر النهار إلى استدلال وإذا استبان الحق وتضح فما بعده إلا الضلال. The noble imams have already taken on the task of exposing their flaws, of those deviant creeds and methodologies that he's not discussing here. And they authored independent works in refutation and distancing them, and turning these people away. For indeed, opposites are recognized by their opposites and defined by identifying their criteria and limits. When the sun rises, there's no need to argue for daylight. And once the truth becomes evident and clear, nothing remains thereafter but misguidance. So the one who truly strives hard, sincerely, to learn the foundation of Ahlul Sunnah in creed and methodology and way, it will be light for them, and they'll be standing firm, and they'll be able to see, and they'll be able to understand clearly. And whenever a falsehood comes, it will not affect them. Whenever misconceptions come, it will not harm them. They will see it and they'll be like, this is falsehood. And they will not bother them. It will not enter their heart. It will not concern them. It will not worry them. It will not shake them. They'll be like a mountain firm by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. By the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, like a tree, a strong tree, the tree of faith in the heart. Also hathabitum wa far'u fi sama. Also hathabitum wa far'u fi sama. But if a person traverses another way, other than the way of the scholars of hadith and the people of the sunnah, and they start checking out and reading this one and reading that one, listening to this one, listening to that one, then he expect nothing but deviation, expect nothing but doubts and misconceptions, expect nothing but ambiguous with no clarification, and he'll be changing every other day, changing every other day. Wa'iyadhu billah. This is the worst of all things, to be deviant, to be misguided, to be in confusion about your deen, about your religion. The greatest blessing, the greatest favor is to have certainty that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And the deen is the deen of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhu. That's to have certainty about that. You have no doubt about that. Then this is the best thing. This is the favorite of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the author, he says, وَرَتَبْتُهُ عَلَى طَرِيقَةِ السُّؤَانِ يَسْتَيْفِضَ الطَّالِبُ وَيَنْتَبِي ثُمَّ أُرَدِيفُهُ بِالْجَوَابِ الَّذِي يَتَضِحُ الْأَمْرُ بِهِ و ولا يشتبه وسميته علام السنة المنشورة لاتقاد الطائفة الناجية المنصورة. I arranged it in a question and answer format so that the student may awaken and pay attention. And whenever you ask a question, you know, he wakes up, right? You ask him a question, maybe he's not paying attention. You ask him a question, now he wakes up. ما معنى التوحيد? Oh, he wakes up, right? Like that. Even if he's paying attention, but he was not diligent in his studies, you ask him a question, he'll learn where he's at. That's why if you give the students a test, the test, what does it do? It shows the student where he's at. You can't answer the question and write it down. Oh, you don't know it. Khalas, you didn't learn. Okay, now you know where you're at. Now you know where you're at. Wake up. Barakallahu feek. Wake up and get your feet firm on the path of seeking knowledge. So he says, I arrange it in question and answer format so that the student may awaken and pay attention, and then followed it with an answer that makes the matter clear and removes any ambiguity. I named it the signpost of the propagated sunnah for the creed of the saved and victorious side. He says, Rahimahullah, closing, Wallaha. أسأل أن يجعله ابتغاء وجهه العالى وأن ينفعنا بما علمنا ويعلمنا ما ينفعنا نعمة منه وفضلا إنه على كل شيء قدير وبعباده لطيف خبير وإليه المرجع والمصير وهو المولانا فنعم المولى ونعم النصير. I ask Allah to make it sincerely for His noble face and to benefit us with what we have learned and teach us with what will benefit us, a grace and bounty from Him. Indeed, He is capable of all things, and He is kind and all aware with His servants. To Him is the return and destination. He is our protector. How excellent a protector and how excellent a supporter. And alhamdulillah, we went over it slightly. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allah khairan wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.